Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
I want to take some time today and talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to what the Bible calls the harvest. Now, that may be a little blind to you, depending on how long you've been a Christian, what I mean by the harvest. But my hope is that it will clearly make sense to you by the time we have our this moment together in God's Word. It's so very important that you understand what God is doing right now on the earth. I'll take just a moment and rehearse something I've said many, many times over the last months, but it bears repetition because it's very important. Back in last May, God really strongly dealt with my heart that by the fall, that the nation would be on fire. Whether that was figurative or literal, I didn't know, obviously, and it was both. But right about in the middle of the summer or so, it was so clear. And this wasn't a witness of my heart, but this was like a download that almost like a paragraph just dropped in me. And I so clearly saw that there would emerge a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit that would run right alongside the fires in the world. The fire of God would fall by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the fires of man, the fires of this age, the fires that come from the kingdoms of these worlds, this world destroys people. But the fire of God does just the opposite. It's a fire that restores. It's a fire that burns away the things that damages people. And since that time, I've had the privilege of talking with pastors around the nation, some of the lead pastors that literally around our nation. And you would think we had sat down and had conversations that lasted hours. God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking the same thing across this nation and likely across the world. And so I want you to see that something has begun. It's not going to happen. We're not on the edge of it. We are in it right now. There is a sovereign. By sovereign, I mean it's not something that we're going to fight to get. God is sovereignly moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very, very important distinction. He's not talking about it coming from pulpits. Now, certainly you'll see God's power and the move of God's Holy Spirit in the church. But it's an everyday life move of God that is going to reach people in your sphere of influence in your everyday life. It is a harvesting that this world has never seen. So the first thing I want to talk to you about in regards to the Holy Spirit and the harvest is simply this, is you have to understand the Holy Spirit in Scripture. Jesus told us his primary function in the earth, his primary work in my life and your life, his primary reason for being in the earth. And if we don't understand that primary reason, we're going to dilute what he's actually here to do. And here's that primary reason, that he would draw, the Holy Spirit of God, would draw all men to the Father by Jesus Christ, would draw all people, all men, that he would go into the places that people would say it's impossible for God to touch. People that oppose God, people that perhaps hate God, people that may hate you because your love for God. And he said, I'm going to use you to go into those places. And it isn't you that will draw all men to me. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you see a video like you just saw and scriptures being shared on a video, sometimes your mind can go, yeah, but what good's that really going to do? If all it is just a video they watch, I would agree with you. And I would say, not much good. But by the time we finish today, I think you're going to see what God the Holy Spirit does with what seems to be the foolishness, the Bible calls the foolishness of preaching, what seems feeble to us. God himself moves within it, and he changes the hearts and lives of men and women. That's how you came to Christ. It's how I came to Christ. Let me take you to what Jesus said about this in John chapter 6 and verse 40. Jesus said, for my Father's will is that everyone, say it out loud, everyone. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44, no one can come to me. No one, not every other one, not just, you know, people that are messed up. No one, no matter what you've done, good, bad, or indifferent in this world. No one, Jesus said, can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise that person up on the last day. Jesus made it so clear that it is the Father's will that everybody comes to know God and have eternal life. It's really important to get this. Every human being on the earth lives with an eternal life. It's either going to be an eternal life in the presence of God, or Jesus said, in a place called hell, ultimately the lake of fire. So, well, you know, I don't like those scare tactics, and I'm not into that, you know, the hell thing. You know, I have a cafeteria Christianity. I pick this part of God I like, and this part, no thanks, I don't like, you know, potatoes. Jesus spoke only truth. And because there is a reality of a heaven and hell, that's why he paid the price that he did. It's why the cost was so high. And when we finish today, it's my hope that you're going to see the critical nature. If you want the move of the Holy Spirit to actually be fulfilled in your life, it's going to have to happen by us giving the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, primary function in our life, or making it first. How many of you would like to be led by the Holy Spirit, which we're told we can do? We can be led by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, receive peace from the Holy Spirit, comfort. He said, I'll be your standby. I'll be your intercessor. I'll be your advocate. I'll come alongside you and help you. I'll fall into the ditch with you. I'll raise you up. I will teach you all things. How many of you like the Holy Spirit to teach you truths about God? These are all things that the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life, in your life, we are told in Scripture that he will do for the believer. But here's something that's so, so very, very important, is that there is a measure of the Holy Spirit's power and influence in my life and in your life that you will never know until you choose to become what we will call today a harvester and labor together with him to do the work of the kingdom. Because it is the Holy Spirit of God that draws men and women to the Father by Jesus Christ. So that when I share Christ with somebody, he shows up. That's why it doesn't depend on my eloquence. It doesn't depend on if I was perfect in what I said. It's that when the gospel shared, he shows up and he draws men and women's hearts to the Father, and then they can choose to receive or to reject Christ. The present day sovereign move of God's Spirit that we're seeing right now, I am so convinced that this is going to be the greatest harvest of souls, if you will, people coming out of darkness into light, hellbound, heavenbound, plunder hell, populate heaven, that we've ever seen in the history of man. There are more people on the planet that have ever been here before. And the Holy Spirit is moving in a way sovereignly that people are, the power of God, and what I see most thrilling to me is how the power of God is falling on the next generation. Because you are never going to win these battles that are spiritual with physical tools. You're never going to convince someone or argue somebody out of darkness into light. They've got to be delivered. They've got to be translated by the love of God through the gospel. And it's so, so very important that when the kingdoms of this world are imploding, it's important to know that while that's happening, and would you all agree, the kingdoms of this world are imploding. You couldn't make it up to get this crazy. You couldn't make it up where darkness is pretended to be light, that good is evil and evil is good. It's insanity. But while the kingdoms of the world, which are set of blades of hell, are imploding, the kingdom of God is exploding. I've never, in 40 years, June will be 40 years of ministry, I have never, ever, ever seen in my heart and see with my eyes what I see on the horizon and occurring right now. I've never been more thrilled to see what God is doing, not just, if you will, in a church environment, but in people's everyday lives. And it's so critical that you as a laborer jump right into the middle of it. Jesus said these words, literally, you are the harvester that he points to. Not pastors. Now I have my part, you have your part. Sometimes, depending on our religious background, we think, well, you know, people that quote are in ministry, they're the harvesters. No, my job, literally as a pastor, is to train you to be a harvester. I'm actually a coach and not a player. When the coaches play on the field, nobody wants to watch the game. I don't know if y'all saw Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. Now, Andy, no offense, he's the coach of Kansas City. Boy, he's eating some pasta in his life. I like him. He's fluffy. And you don't see him on the field. The field is to be full of every person that Jesus has redeemed. And it's my hope to help you see what Jesus said about your part and how this actually works. I want you to see, how do I actually lead someone to Christ? How do I actually do that? What should I expect when I do it? This is not only to be practical, it is to infuse in you an understanding that when you yield to God in this way, all of the work of the Holy Spirit will flow through your life. It's when we seek the attributes of the Holy Spirit independently of his primary purpose that we don't get the fullness of what he has for us in our lives. In other words, we say this, God, let me get my life together. Help me with my A, B, C, D, and E. And this G over here, this is so messed up. Come over, help me here. And we try to invoke God into our problems instead of humbly submitting our lives to His purpose. And in submitting our lives to His purpose, the fullness of the Spirit of God will course through every portion of my life. And nothing stands in the power of God. And I want to encourage you to realize there is nothing that can stand before the power of the presence of God's Holy Spirit in your life. That's why the scripture declares over and over again, and it literally says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So, so very important. Matthew chapter 9, listen to what Jesus said. The scripture said, when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, and His heart broke because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said then, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So He told His disciples, pray. Pray to the one in charge of the harvesting and ask Him to recruit more workers and force and thrust them out into His harvest. Jesus made it very clear we don't have a harvest issue. We have a harvester issue, a worker issue. In fact, one place Jesus said the fields are white to harvest. They're rotting because there aren't enough harvesters to go get them. And as Christians, sometimes we pray for those far from God, like somehow God's going to sovereignly show up in their life. But you are the harvester. You are the harvester. And Jesus said, here's the prayer of Jesus. Father, because this world is so dark without You and my heart is so broken, and my heart must be broken like His heart is broken for those far from God, for those without Christ, that those will hate everything about You, everything about me, everything about who God is. He said, when He saw them, He wasn't angered and furious at them. He said He was heartbroken for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were helpless. The only people that Jesus was ruthless with were the self-righteous. I mean, He was ruthless. But if you read the Gospels, you'll find Him going into the lives of the most sin-stained and broken people that you could imagine in that day, and loving them and serving them and rescuing them. You see, sometimes we look at the world that is that harvest that's out there that needs Christ. That is everybody I know on planet Earth, everyone you know, in a few short years will be in heaven or hell. And we think that God's angry at them. It's just the opposite. His heart breaks for them. That's why He died for them. Every Christian, this is so important now. Every Christian is uniquely designed by God to harvest a portion of the precious fruit of the earth. The Bible calls those far from God precious. Precious fruit of the earth. Every one of us, every one of you, we are uniquely designed by God to go into a spot in the harvest that no one else can go to. A good friend of mine that Michelle and I used to serve in Africa under his ministry almost 30 years ago. We were 6 years old at the time, but he told a story about his grandfather. They live in South Florida, and he owned orange groves, and he also owned a lot of farmland where they harvested tomatoes. And he said one of the years, you know, it was harvest time, and you need to know this about harvest time. It's the shortest season. The harvest is happening right now. It is a short season. That's why Jesus said, if you don't get in there, it'll rot. And it's the shortest season. It's an all hands on deck season. It's sun up to sun down work because you got to get the harvest in the barns or you're going to lose it. Well, my friend said this. He said his granddad had more than enough orange pickers, but not nearly enough tomato pickers. And he was talking to my friend, and he's saying, listen, you know, man, I'm having trouble finding these tomato pickers, but I have a ton of orange pickers. He said, why don't you just take the extra orange pickers, have them pick your tomatoes? I mean, that would make perfect sense. He said, it makes sense to you, but let me tell you, you pick an orange differently than you pick a tomato. And those who are trained, and that's their thing, that they pick tomatoes, know how to pick the tomato. Those who pick the orange, they know how to pick the orange, and they actually do it very differently. He said, well, just tell them how to do it. He said, well, they'll do it for a minute, but then they're going to go back into their habit and pick my tomatoes like oranges, and it's going to damage my crop significantly. He would rather not have the wrong harvester. Then literally, he said, I've got to find it. And he would not put the wrong person at the wrong job. If tomatoes and oranges need unique harvesting, how much more people? And he said, so his grandfather went to great measures to find and paid extra to get specific harvesters to get the tomatoes. That's what the kingdom of God is like. There is a uniqueness in every human being on the earth. God has made us in his likeness, in his image. If you really think about 6 billion people and none of them being alike, forget fingerprints, just there's nothing the same about any of them. 6 billion. How can that be? I mean, at some point there ought to be a duplicate, right? But there isn't. Why? Because every human being is made in the infinite image of God. And every human being deserves to be harvested. And every person who Jesus has called to go into the harvest field, here's the amazing thing, has been taken out of that very field. It's so easy to forget. So easy to forget that without somebody bringing the gospel to me, that I would be hellbound. Sometimes you get rescued and you forget that you were drowning. You forget that there was nothing I could do to rescue myself. It'd be paramount to being in the ocean and not able to swim forever, and you're dying. And you're going up and down, and finally somebody grabs you by the back of the shirt, pulls you up into a boat and saves your life. It would be like getting up into the boat and then thinking, I think I'm an Olympic swimmer. You would say, no, man, you're dying. You can't swim. You're going to die. Somebody rescued you. One of the things that will compel you to go into the harvest fields is the fact that you came out of them. And the self-righteousness that makes me feel better than somebody is the only thing from which Jesus was furious about. That when I forget that if I have any righteousness or goodness in me, it's because of a Savior. It's so, so very, very important. And so here's the bottom line. If we don't collect the harvest, it's lost forever. This isn't losing a tomato crop or an orange crop. This is a person who will go to hell eternally. So the decision to be a harvester is a heaven and hell decision for somebody. My decision to do what Jesus prayed that I would do is a heaven and hell decision, not for me, but for somebody else. That's why the first thing before Jesus ever said, go into the field, he said, my heart breaks for them. What you love, you give your life for. And my prayer as we walk with God, the Holy Spirit, and have an intimate relationship with God, even through his word, that what he hungers for, we hunger for. What he gives his life for, we give our life for. What he longs for, we long for. What he sacrificed for, we sacrifice for. And every one of us can let this heart work happen in us. It'll change the way you live. It literally will change the way you live your life every single day of your life. Not the nonsense of religion where you put on a God show for 45 minutes to an hour and then you go do your life. Jesus didn't die for a weekend show. He died so that men and women who are bound to be eternally lost could be rescued and brought into the kingdom of God and walk with God as sons and daughters every day of the world. That's what he came to rescue us to. That's what he's bringing us back into the harvest to accomplish. So let me ask a simple question. So then how do I share the gospel? How do I do it? Because for most people, that's why they don't do it. They're like, well, do I go over and say, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're in the office? You can't do that. You can't go up to somebody and say, do you know the Lord? Hallelujah. Well, here's the thing. People think talking to people about God, somehow you have to be weird. Or you have to be something you're not. But God has uniquely designed you. Some people think you're not all there. It's okay. I have a whole family of us. And here's the good thing of having a crazy family. When you're crazy, if they're crazier than you, you don't look so bad. But you're uniquely designed to harvest somebody. That's why there's a uniqueness. That's why every church is different. That's why every person is different. That's why every leader is different. Because the world needs harvesters that can speak into their specific life. So how do I do it? It's real simple. You do it relationally. You simply tell your story and the story of the gospel in your story. Because so many people say, well, you know, my life's not like where it needs to be to tell anybody yet. I can promise you that you will be 109 years old and feel the same way. Because for you to feel the other way would mean you're self-righteous. For me to feel like, I'm perfect, that's self-righteousness. But for me to go to somebody and say, you know, and just conversationally, people talk just like they would talk to you. You know, God's done amazing things in my life. Really? God? Yeah. And here's the simple message of the gospel. Here's what I found out by seeing things in the life of Jesus. That every human being has a sin debt. Because we've all failed. I don't know anybody who hasn't. But God's so righteous and God's so holy that we can't make up that sin. We can't pay that debt ourselves. But God so desperately loved us. And this is where I would stop and say, because you know, Christianity can easily be perverted, but here's the simplistic message of Jesus. Because there was no way for man to pay for his own sin to a righteous God. A righteous God came literally in human flesh for one reason. So that the penalty that was due me could be poured out on him. The wrath of God that would send me to an eternity without God. He said, I'm righteous and I cannot look the other way with sin. But I love you so much that I will robe myself in flesh, born of a virgin. That sinless man will grow and they will execute him in my place. And all of the wrath of God will fall on him. And he died with my sin and because of my sin. He was buried, but then he rose from the dead and he conquered death. And now he offers to you a free gift. And the key is free of eternal life by receiving him. So when you die, you have to make a decision. If you die and pay for your own sins, then you pay for them eternally. But if you die having received Christ, he makes you brand new. And it's free. It's a gift. And you can walk with this kind of God that loves you every day of the world. Would you like to receive him? You'll find so many people at that point will go, I don't know if I could say that because you think you're responsible. You're not. When you start to tell your story, when you start to share Christ with them, the Holy Spirit of God, imagine 6 billion people. He's so intimately in love with each one far from God that he works in their heart. He's drawing their heart. It's not you. Well, it must have been really persuasive. No. God's waiting for us to simply do our part. And then God, the Holy Spirit, swoops in and he begins to work on their heart. And he draws them to the Father by Jesus. Bring people to church with you and let God do a work in their life. He said, what if you have a bad weekend? It's okay. Meaning me, Pastor John, don't stink it up. I brought somebody. I get that. Aren't you glad God's not dependent on your perfection or mine to reach people? If he was, none of us would have ever been reached. So that's the simplicity of winning people to Jesus. You just tell your story. That's how you enter the harvest field. But there's something you need to know that when you live this way, because it isn't a bed of roses as a Christian. The Bible talks about sowing the gospel or planting your life or going into the harvest, sowing the gospel with tears, but reaping it with joy. Tears is what this world gives you. Joy is what God provides. And he said that when you sow me to others, it will not only harvest them and you bring the harvest with you, it will rescue you right alongside. Look what he said in Psalms 126 about the sowing in tears and reaping in joy. Psalms 26 verse 5 says this. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy. Now listen, carrying his harvest with him. Carrying people with him. The only thing you can take to eternity are people. Nothing you've accumulated, nothing you've achieved will go with you. There are no U-Hauls behind hearses. You take nothing with you. Scripture literally said, you came in butt naked, you leave in butt naked. That's the 9th John translation, but that's what it's naked. You came in naked, you're leaving naked. Came with nothing, you leave with nothing. But you know you can leave with a harvest of people on the other side of your obedience. And when you begin to see God move through simple obedience, one, it will humble you beyond anything imaginable. Two, you won't want to live any other way. Because there is nothing on this planet that will ever bring joy to your heart like reaping somebody from an eternity apart from God into an eternity with God. Jesus literally sowed his life in tears. And he calls every one of us to do the very same thing in going into the harvest field. You know, right before Jesus went to the cross, three times he prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way to redeem man, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, your will, not mine." Three times he prayed it. He didn't want the sin of the world to bear. He didn't want to be separated from his Father. It wasn't the death of a cross. It was the sin of the world that he was to bear. Is there any way that me bearing and drinking the cup of the sin of the world, is there any other way that man can be redeemed? In the Old Testament, it said that Jesus set his face, prophetically speaking of him, in stone to go to the cross. He was immovable. That is what it means to sow your life in tears. The book of Hebrews tells us this, that Jesus literally said that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now listen, despising the shame. He was hung naked on a cross. He was hung like a criminal. He was punished and executed like a murderer. And he had never tasted sin. It said, but there was a joy set before him. What's the joy? The harvest. You. Do you realize what kept Jesus focused on the cross? Focused on bearing my sin and your sin, were those who hated him, were those who shouted, "Crucify him," were those that without him would be lost forever. He called the precious fruit of the earth. He called those that opposed God. He called those who didn't know God and were hellbound. He said, "They are the joy set before me." And then he turned and he said some things to us to make us, he said, don't have different expectations about your life. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. You see, walking with God is not this in this pristine fantasy world. The very people you're trying to rescue are the very people that will shoot at you. But Jesus said, if they did it to me, they'll do it to you. Let them be the joy set before you as well. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me into the harvest field. It's a daily decision that every one of us have to make. The scripture said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So I never get persecuted. It said, all that live godly will suffer persecution. That one, get that on the way home. You're going to be persecuted if you walk with God. You're going to be called names. And I'm not talking about being a religious bigot, just because you won't agree with what you can't agree with. We live in a world where people are making a God in their own image. Where they make a God that this is okay with and that's okay with. And then they want me to bow down before their false God and worship their God. I won't do it. I won't do that for anything, anybody, including my own family. I can't do it. And when you don't worship their God that says this is wonderful and this is wonderful and this is the way it is. Because there's an old saying that said, and God made man in his image and man returned the favor. And then people want you to bow down to the God they make up. No, thank you. Because their God will live as long as they do. When they expire, their last breath, their God dies with them. And I'm not serving a God that lasts as long as someone's lungs. I won't do it, and you're unwise to do it. We are called to serve a living God who loves us unimaginably. And when you walk with that God and say, I don't serve your God, I don't bow down and worship the God that you, whatever you call it, him or he or she or it, or your non-gender God, whatever you need, I don't care. That's between you and the God. If someday you'll die, you could talk about it. But at the end of the day, you're going to be persecuted for that. This happened years ago, and I won't go into detail about it, but man, there was a very bad situation. A person that was mentally imbalanced, was dealing with some stuff, and were doing terrible things, saying terrible things about me and making stuff up. And this was at times almost dangerous. So I at that time, there was a group of us pastors that we met for almost 20 years, a couple times a month during the school year. And we did it for almost 20 years. And so, you know, we got to be pretty good friends. And so we got together and I kind of told the story to my friends. I said, listen, this is just starting to tick me off. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe to go Godfather on this. You never been tempted to go ugly on something? Now, that's one thing when there's two sides of the story, you got your own. Well, when you're just getting smacked for nothing, you're like, okay, yeah, we're go Godfather on this thing. You all know what that means? That means get ugly, and you bring a bat, I'm bringing a bomb. Anybody ever felt that way? Okay, how about this? Anybody married? All right, I thought that'd wake you up a little bit. Now, here. But if that's in your marriage, Jimmy Evans coming. Hang in there. Don't you love Jimmy Evans? Make sure you come to that. But one of the pastors there, he said, hey, John, he said, you know, maybe you might want to do what Jesus said. I said, well, that's probably good, because I'm complaining. He said, didn't Jesus say that if you follow him, people will speak all manner of evil about you? I said, yeah, he did say that. He said, what did he tell you to do? He said, rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Not go Godfather. What did you think was going to happen? Did you think when you walk with God that there wouldn't be people that would do what Jesus said they would? Why don't you? And that day started praying for that person and their entire family. And off and on have done it since. Why? Because that's what God said to do. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those who use you and despitefully persecute you. Why? So that you could be the children of your God. Because your God lets the sun fall and the rain fall on the just and the unjust. That's how you get to be a harvester. And you know what happens? When you live that way, freedom comes into your soul. It's an incredible way to live. It's an incredible way to live. Precious friend of mine, Christopher Alam, a ministry that we support here at Victory. He gave his life to the Lord as a Muslim. His name was Muhammad Alam. His dad was a general in the Pakistani army. He's of Arab descent. And Christopher gave his life to the Lord. And when he did, he being a Muslim and his father being very prominent, he became very public about it. And his father had him arrested and put in prison. And he stayed in prison for, almost a year. And then he was put into a mental institution. And they were trying to get him away from Christianity. But he gave his life to Christ and he was immovable. He got out of prison and ultimately escaped and got asylum in Sweden. But before he left, he wanted to be water baptized. And he was in the church and he would sneak into this church. And at that time, you know, they had to be kind of obviously clandestine when they would meet. And people were getting water baptized. He said, I want to be water baptized. And the pastor said, I can't water baptize you. Because if I water baptize you, once you do that, they'll kill you. But more importantly, they'll kill me. Whoever water baptizes you, they'll kill him as well. And he said, I can't do it. There was an American missionary that was there. He said, Christopher, because he changed his name from Muhammad to Christopher. He said, I'll baptize you. Christopher was baptized and he got out of the country. And it's amazing how God's used him since. But the man who water baptized him, they found him and they murdered him. You sow in tears. There are people that literally are martyring their lives to go into the harvest field. And Christopher, if you ever hear him talk about this, it'll break your heart. Because every day of the world, I live for God. And I think, and he names that man's name. But there's a reaping with joy. His life was cut short and he gave his life for the gospel. But the man that he water baptized, obeying God, has led multiplied millions to Christ. Tens of millions of people over these 20, 30 years. And I'm not exaggerating. I've been in the meetings. I've watched it happen. And there is a reaping in joy. And what a reward that man will have in eternity. In America, we're not being asked to martyr our lives. A lot of our persecution is just somebody on Facebook doesn't like you. Really. Going into the harvest field is so critically important. Galatians 6:9 said, so don't become weary in doing good. If we don't give up, the time will come, listen, when we will reap the harvest. Everyone's tempted to give up in this life. Everybody. There are going to be so many days in your life when you attempt and desire to walk with God and to go into putting Him first and others first and those without God first. And I don't mean you don't live your everyday life. You do. But in these opportunities, you're looking for them. You're praying for them. You're saying, God, open a door for me to be able to share my life and the God that saved me and rescued me through Jesus to another person. That when you live your life, I promise you, you're going to be sowing in tears and difficulties very often. Jesus said, if you live in this world, He said, in the world, you'll have trouble and tribulation. How many of you found out that's one verse you never had to pray for? Comes to pass, doesn't it? And it can so easily back you off of the primary mission of every child of God, which is to jump into the harvest field with the same passion and sacrifice that Jesus did. And understanding that when you do, it's when you will experience the fullness of the measure of the Holy Spirit in your life. The peace of the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Imagine the intercession of the Holy Spirit, the teaching gift of the Holy Spirit. It's when we pull ourselves out of this primary purpose that we just get the edges of it. But it's when you jump in the middle that in watering others, you water yourself. That He will do things through you and in your life and rescue you from places that in brokenness in your own life that you can't imagine possible. I long for every person not to be a pastor. It's not your call for most people. But to be a harvester in your everyday life. God's called you. He's called every one of us to do that. When this church started in October of 93. Oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Come on, Newcastle. Hold hands with somebody that you're married to. Or dating really well. Or maybe you're both single and you want to date. Okay, I'm just being good. Happy Valentine's Day. 1993, first service. I pronounced everything that God called us to do in 1993. That everything you're seeing here, including touching the Northeast. And for years, if you were a part of this church, I proclaimed it over and over because I knew God called us to it. About 5 years ago, something happened. I began to look at the circumstances around my own calling, my own life, and I thought, Lord, I don't see any way that can happen in my lifetime. I certainly don't see how You're going to use me to do it. So maybe it's the next generation that You'll use for that part of the call. And I started to take my hands off of it from my heart. I started to weary in well-doing. I started to faint. But the scripture said, if you faint not, you reap. But I was actually thinking I was just being responsible, thinking, okay, I guess that's never going to happen. It wasn't long after that, I was in a meeting, and a man named Larry Stockstill was there speaking. It was a group of ministers. He was there speaking, actually, with his son, Jonathan. Larry Stockstill, in the circles in which he's known, would have the credibility of a Billy Graham. And so when it was over, I just felt like I'd like him to pray for me, he and his son. So I just went up. They were talking to people. Meeting's over. They didn't know my name, never said a word to them. I just said, can I just ask you two to pray for me? And they said, sure. So he just started praying for me. Then he stopped. And he said, I just feel like I have to tell you this. It's coming up in my heart to tell you that God's called you to reach a region and you can't lay it down. He said, does that mean anything to you? I said, oh, just a little. I said, thank you, and I walked away. About 2 years later, I was at another place where a pastor was good friends, was his first employee. Larry was there, and he invited about four of us couples to just spend a few hours in the evening together with Larry Stockstill, and it was a treasure. He had no remembrance of who I was. We're finishing up. We're just hanging out. And he said, can I pray for you? I said, yeah. And this one I have recorded. He virtually said the same thing. Has no remembrance. In fact, he said, I've never met you before. And I didn't, interrupt him to tell him differently. And he basically even expanded it more of what this would look like. And then from that day forward, things have begun to open up in manners and in ways that I almost can't wrap my mind around. God will move heaven and hell and everything in between to reach people that are far from God because He gave His life for them. And the scripture said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us everything? Jesus actually rejoices. God the Father rejoices when somebody comes to Christ. Look at Luke 15, verse 10. The Bible said there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. It doesn't say the angels rejoice. It said there's rejoicing in their presence. One person comes to Christ, God himself rejoices. What kind of love is this? What kind of connection is this to you and me as a harvester? What can that be like? That when I serve and I serve somebody with the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes and moves. And when they become harvested through me or another, God himself stops and rejoices. In this season, we'd like to see God rejoicing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week around the clock. I'm telling you, the harvest is here. Next week, I'm going to get to announce something that I've been... Guys, I have to tell you, my staff gets nervous when I know something because I got something in me. I want to tell you. I've been holding this since like October. So next week, I get to tell you that we're going to be launching. I'll give you the details and the where. 2 new campuses very soon. Glory to God. Come on, man. And I'll give you the details of that. It's going to be remarkable. So let me close in our final moments with what's going to sound like a lot of information, but I want you to grasp this. How the Holy Spirit and the harvester work together. This is very important because it will give you a confidence to just tell your story. Because remember, the primary reason the Holy Spirit fills us is so that we can witness Jesus to those without him. There are 3 basic things that will happen. I'm just going to read them to you. When somebody encounters somebody that's moving in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read you out of 1 Corinthians 14. And I can't give it context, but this was about the simple gift of prophecy. And he said, but if all prophesy, which simply means to speak with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in among you. Say unbeliever. Unbeliever. Uninformed. I want you to see the impact. He is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And as a result, the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God. And he will have this report. God is truly among you. When a person yields to God and shares the gospel, the Holy Spirit will come alongside you. And he will begin to draw the heart of that person. And 3 things will begin to happen, whether you know it or not. That God will deal with their heart and the secrets of their hearts will be revealed. And he will begin to open the heart of that individual. The second thing that will happen is they will acknowledge God. And ultimately, if they choose Christ, will fall down, submit their lives to him, and worship him. The last thing is, I think, the best, is that they will begin to declare, God's with you. Not we have to tell you. They will declare, I can't explain all this. I don't understand it all. But God's here. Because remember, you are not responsible to save anybody. But just simply to share Christ and trust the Holy Spirit to do the work. Christopher Alam got saved in a way, and that's why I want you to understand the Kingdom Builder stuff we do. Christopher saw a white man in Pakistan on a street corner, and something in him said, go talk to that man. Now, this is a young man who is wanting to take his own life, who tried to martyr his life in war, tried to die in war so he could go to heaven as a martyr. And he got more and more depressed as he saw people with things to live for die. And he said, I can't even die right. And he said, I went to this man, knew nothing about him. And he was a Christian. And he was witnessing Christ to people. And Christopher was educated. He spoke English. And that man told him about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, he said, so penetrated my heart. I knelt down on that street and received Christ as the Lord of my life. And have walked with him unfettered ever since. How can that be? Because it wasn't that man's words. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that fell on this man. And he walked with God, willing to martyr his life within days. That's not a religion. That is transformation. That's what God wants to do in people's lives. And none of us have the power for that, but we have the power to bring the gospel. Finally, in Acts 1:8, it said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And here's the reason. So you shall be witnesses to me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. He said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon you so that you can witness with my power in 4 basic places. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem is where you live, your circle of influence right around your life, your family. Judea is your sphere of the broader influence of where you connect with people. Samaria sounds like a city to you, but listen to me. Samaria was a place that the Jews hated. They hated Samaritans. He said, I'm going to empower you to go to the people that hate you and that you right now hate. And I'm going to empower you to witness to them and lead them to me. There was more hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans than the Democrat and Republicans today. How many of y'all know that's some hatred? And God said, when my spirit comes upon you, it will empower you to witness. That's the first purpose. Not just to your Jerusalem and Judea, but to the people that you would have every reason to despise. But I'm going to empower you to love them and serve them. Then lastly, he said, and to the very ends of the earth, kingdom builders, till the whole world hears. That's the privilege of walking with God. I want every one of you in this hour, your children and your children's children, to experience the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. But you will never know the fullness of His power absent pouring yourself headlong into the harvest. And I want to pray over you. I want us to worship together. I want us to, if you would, stand together with me. And we just want to take a moment and have a time where we just actually sing a song where we're declaring our hearts before God. And we're opening our hearts and our souls to Him. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts right now. Your presence is so sweet in this place, wherever people are, that Your presence is so precious that You would do a work in our hearts right now. That You would break up the hardened and fallow ground of our hearts. Oh, I worship You, Father. Thank You for the privilege of loving who You love, serving who You serve, giving my life for those with whom You've given Your life, for running headlong back into the harvest fields that someone, by the power of God, rescued me from. Oh, Father, help us to never forget that we were a hellbound people, that we were lost and undone without Christ. And by His mercy, He saved us. By His grace, He found us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He rescued us. And it was nothing to do with our goodness. It was all of Your grace and mercy. And we've received the free gift of eternal life. Freely we have received, and now freely we give. We commit to be the harvesters, to be the answer to the prayer of Jesus. I worship You. As we were worshiping, I saw something so clearly in my spirit. Sometimes in the multiple services, the same thing will emerge. Often it doesn't, but it did this time again. And it's so real in my heart that I see so many of God's people, and everywhere they look, there's a wall in front of them. And it creates this anger, and even a hopelessness, and even a depression. And so they turn, and there's the wall here, and it's like you're surrounded. And so you try to think past it. You try to work past it. You try to get angry past it. And everything you do fortifies it. And this hopelessness will start to settle in your soul. And the Bible said that when you lose hope, you cast away restraint. You cast away purpose. And you'll live your life just to get to the next day. No child of God is called to live that way. Here's what I saw so clearly in my spirit. In honoring Him and not focusing on the walls that you feel and that you see around you, because those walls try to capture all of us. The kingdoms of this world are born of the pit of hell to steal and to kill and to destroy. And what I see happening in my heart, it's so real, is that we're trying to fight a spiritual battle with a physical weapon. And it is like a squirt gun to a bonfire. It's irrelevant. And all it does is wear you out. You just say, I'm just so tired. It's not that I'm sleepy. I'm just tired. Where is this? I have this. I need some. Where's my life? This purpose, energy. I just feel like every time I look, it seems like they get closer. And they get closer. It starts to impact the way you treat the people you love you, that love you. And now you're in close quarters and all. And it's like, God, help us. And you're invoking God to come into the prison with you. God doesn't live in prisons. He doesn't live in prisons. He knocks down the walls of prisons. When God showed up at a prison and Paul and Silas were in it, and everybody there was, their hands were and feet were fastened in chains. The Bible said the Holy Spirit fell in Acts 16 when they were in the prison worshiping God. And literally the chains fell off of them when the power of God literally said, shook the whole prison. But something interesting happened. It said every prisoner's chains were loosened. Even the criminals. Even the ones who deserve to be there. When God shows up, everything goes free. Everybody goes free. Because no one deserves the freedom. And when you yield your heart to Him and you say, I'm going to live beyond my walls, beyond my feelings, beyond my faults, beyond this feelings of depression and hopelessness, and I am going to start to go into the harvest and give my life away. I'm going to go lift someone now. God, show me someone in my influence that I can begin to just put seeds in their heart of a Savior. And when you do, you are stepping on the other side of that wall. Because that wall keeps you hemmed in where you do nothing for God. And then we just beg God to pull down the walls. And if you do, then I can do this. No, you honor God first. And in watering others, you water yourself. And the longing you have for the Holy Spirit's freedom comes through the obedience. It's like jumping out into a river. And that river is to rescue others, but you get wet as well. He wants to be your teacher, your comforter, your standby, your intercessor. He wants to literally teach you how to abide in Christ. And He wants to do it in the fullness that only God can. And He wants to be God in my everyday life, in your everyday life. And as we step into these places of obedience, you will experience the fullness of the power of God. The wonderful sovereign move of the Holy Spirit on the earth is only going to be fully known and realized by those who yield to His primary purpose. You can get some of the periphery of it, but man, let's jump in headlong. There's ever been a time in human history that this world needed us out in that field. And that Jesus calls us out in that, boy, it's now. So let me pray over you. As you consecrate your heart, not to be stronger or wiser or any other errs, but to be submitted to God and to honor Him and to love as He loves. Father, I thank You for Your presence in our lives today. There are so many things in this world trying to destroy and kill and steal and hem us in. None of those things are greater than You. You've never looked at an obstacle and backed up. The greater one abides on the inside of us. So we yield fully to You, not our circumstances, not our feelings, not the sorrow, not the barriers of our life. We yield to You. And we step into the harvest field and know the fullness of Your Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, the wisdom of the Spirit of God in its fullness. And I thank You, Lord. I speak that over the lives of Your people as we now humble ourselves in Your presence and enter this harvest field with everything we have. Thank You, Father God, not for a trickle in a stream, but for literally rivers like tsunamis pouring out of these places of brokenness and sin in our culture and people being rescued by the tens and hundreds of thousands. Thank You for the great, great harvest and the privilege of being a harvester. To God be all the glory. In Jesus' name, would you just give me attention for one more moment? If you're here today, or perhaps you're watching online, and if you died today, you don't know where you'd spend your forever. This is the reason Jesus died. You say, well, what would happen to me if I died? And if you can't answer that with an assurance, please hear these words. This will be the most important 3 minutes of your life. Because at the end of this life, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we either die paying for our own sins or receive the payment of a Savior. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by Me. And I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to the one who gave His life for you. This isn't some religious game. This is the living God who paid for your sin debt. and you recognize, oh, how could he love me like this? And you actually invite him into your life and receive Christ as the Lord and the Savior of your life, and he turns no one away. You will never be able to not need a Savior. You can't do enough good to not need his salvation. No man, no woman can do enough good. Well, I go to church. Wonderful. That won't get you heaven. Well, I'm a good person. I commend you. Won't get you heaven. Well, I was baptized as a baby. It was sacred for your family. Doesn't get you to heaven. Got you wet. That doesn't do it. Jesus died for you. And you have to willfully open your heart to him. Now, here's what's happening right now if that's you. Something on the inside of you, it feels almost like pulling. And so, what is that? It's not of that. It's not of it. It's the person of God, the Holy Spirit himself, drawing you, as Jesus said, saying, come to the Father by the sacrifice of the Son. I'll make you brand new. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to pray with me if you want to receive Christ into your life. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before God. And if you desire to be included in a prayer to receive Christ into your life, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something as simple as say, yeah, pray for me. And then we're going to pray the prayer with you right where you're standing. Those of you online, or whenever you may be listening to this, don't push away. You get to choose now. Receive Jesus, reject Jesus. That is your choice. And God honors it. Oh, but come to him. Oh, the amazing love of God. If you want to make Christ the Lord of your life today, boldly right now say, I want to give my life to the one who gave his life for me. Receive the free gift of eternal life. Would you right now, right where you're at, just boldly lift your hand and say, man, include me in that prayer. Come on, do it right now. Do it right now. Do it right now. Give them a hand. God bless you. Best decision of your life. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, it's an amazing decision you made. And everybody clapping for you. We've all made that very same decision. Best decision of your life. We're going to pray this prayer together. And then we're going to be dismissed in just a few moments. But when we pray, you're inviting Christ into your life. Not some religion. You're not joining the church. You're receiving Christ, and he turns no one away. And we're going to pray it together with you. What a privilege to do this. Pray it out loud where you hear it, and we're going to pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away. I am heaven bound. And Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen, amen, amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.